The world as Baltimore detective Joe Ledger knows it shatters when he's forced to kill the same terrorist twice in 1 week. The first time was during a standard warehouse raid. The second time, in a secret government facility where the terrorist, now a snarling, inhuman thing, tries to bite chunks from Joe's flesh. This isn't supposed to be possible. Yet, as Joe breaks the creature's neck for the second time, he faces an unthinkable reality. The dead are walking, and someone engineered them that way. How do you maintain your humanity when fighting monsters that were once human? This question haunts every page of Patient Zero, where the line between hero and monster blurs with each impossible choice. Joe Ledger functions as three distinct personalities in one body. The modern man, yearning for normalcy, the warrior, excelling in combat, and the cop, analyzing methodically. This psychological complexity makes him ideal for confronting impossible threats. When Mr. Church recruits Joe to lead Echo Team in the Department of Military Sciences, Joe realizes his fractured psyche is an asset. The modern man preserves his humanity by still feeling horror. The warrior acts decisively against undead attackers. The cop solves the bioterrorist conspiracy puzzle. What makes Joe compelling isn't superhuman abilities, but his struggle to integrate these aspects. After witnessing children turned into monsters, he doesn't brush it off with a quip. He seeks therapy with Dr. Rudy Sanchez. When forced to kill infected civilians, he carries that weight. His internal conflicts mirror our own. How much darkness can we face before it changes us? Can we touch the abyss without being consumed? Forget everything you think you know about zombies. These aren't supernatural creatures, but victims of a terrifyingly plausible bioweapon. A weaponized prion disease that mimics death before reanimating its host with minimal brain function, superhuman strength, and an overwhelming drive to spread infection through bites. The scientific plausibility makes this threat genuinely disturbing. Prions, misfolded proteins that trigger chain reactions in brain tissue, already exist in nature, causing fatal familial insomnia, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, and chronic wasting disease. These proteins survive formaldehyde, radiation, and industrial detergents, remaining viable in century-old domes and persisting in soil for decades. The novel's pathogen is this natural horror weaponized. The infected feel no pain, heal rapidly, and turn within seconds of exposure. As Dr. Hu explains, this thing shuts down non-essential body functions, puts the host into hibernation so deep it mimics death, and then wakes them up. This isn't voodoo, it's science gone mad, and that makes it infinitely more terrifying. The real monster isn't the Walking Dead, but the brilliant minds that deliberately designed them as weapons. Behind the bioweapon lies a conspiracy of three figures with conflicting agendas: pharmaceutical magnate Sebastian Gault, terrorist El Mujahid, and his wife Amira. Gault embodies predatory capitalism. He's amassed billions by seeding the market, creating diseases, then selling cures. His company, Gen 2000, maintains a legitimate facade while conducting dark research underground. The Walker pathogen is his masterpiece, designed not to destroy America, but to shift economic priorities from military to medical. What makes Gault disturbing is his self-delusion. He sees himself as humanity's savior while plotting mass murder for profit. El Mujahid and Amira represent religious extremism with scientific prowess. While posing as profit-seeking partners to Gault, their agenda transcends money. Amira secretly develops Generation 12 to transform victims into the new chosen, showing how religious fervor can corrupt humanity itself. This alliance creates threats conventional counterterrorism can't address, dangers emerging from converging corrupted ideologies: corporate greed, religious fanaticism, and technological hubris, each believing itself righteous while pursuing destruction. Echo Team forms the emotional core of Patient Zero. Initially strangers thrown together by crisis, these men develop bonds stronger than family through shared combat. Their diverse backgrounds create a microcosm of America, different races, regions, and personalities united by common purpose. First Sergeant Bradley Top Sims brings steady experience after losing his son in Iraq and seeing his daughter lose both legs in Baghdad. Lieutenant Oliver Ollie Brown carries scars from an abusive father, while Harvey Bunny Rabbit provides loyal strength. What makes their dynamic compelling is how quickly they must transform into a cohesive unit, facing situations requiring absolute trust within hours of meeting. Their first mission to a Delaware meatpacking plant, discovering terrorists using walkers to attack caged children, bonds them more deeply than conventional service ever could. When Joe suggests speaking with Dr. Rudy Sanchez afterward, Top supports him. You don't want to go to sleep tonight with this in your head and no one to talk to. Team member Skip Tyler's betrayal for $10 million adds complexity, showing how corruption can exist alongside heroism even within elite units. Battle not with monsters, lest ye become a monster. And if you gaze into the abyss gazes also into you. This Nietzsche warning forms the philosophical core of Patient Zero, as each character confronts the danger of moral corruption while fighting the walker threat. Church, having gazed longest into the abyss, displays an emotionless exterior and willingness to manipulate others, yet maintains a moral center through his commitment to stopping threats. Joe's struggle is more dynamic, walking out of Church's interrogation feeling soiled and compromised, yet later embracing necessary violence when betrayed and attacked. The villains demonstrate complete surrender to the abyss. Sebastian Galt justifies creating diseases for profit, while Amira twists religious faith into apocalyptic justification. Their corruption begins with reasonable compromises before descending to monstrous actions. Most disturbing is the recognition that modern threats may require crossing previously absolute moral lines. When Joe kills a child-turned-walker, the horror stems from knowing it was necessary. The novel challenges us. How much darkness can we confront before becoming what we fight? Despite its harm elements and unflinching violence, Patient Zero ultimately affirms human resilience and connection. The relationships between characters provide emotional anchors amid chaos, suggesting our humanity lies in how we respond to darkness. Joe's friendship with Rudy offers intellectual and moral grounding through scientific explanations and philosophical debates. Joe and Grace's relationship evolves from professional respect to deeper connection, with Joe's restraint during her vulnerability demonstrating that moral boundaries can persist in extreme circumstances. Even villains show human dimensions. Sebastian Galt's obsession with Amira reveals his need for connection, while Toy's devotion to Galt illustrates how loyalty exists alongside evil. Shared purpose creates meaning amid horror. Echo Team forms bonds stronger than family through facing death together, while the DMS becomes a community for those who've seen too much. As Joe notes in the epilogue, he and Grace found a home in the DMS because of the purpose its dangers provide. When confronting darkness, our greatest weapon isn't technology, but our capacity to maintain humanity. Choosing to remain fully alive, to connect and love, becomes both personal salvation and defiance against the abyss.